Okay, so welcome to episode 3 of the Almost Peaking podcast. I'm Aubrey Violetta-Gelperin, and I'm joined today by Emily Lingui. I said that correctly, right?
Lingui.
Yeah. So to give full, being open with you, I thought it was Langusies.
Yeah.
The first long time I met you.
Langlois, Langlois. Linguini.
Linguini?
Yeah. Right. That was a big thing in seventh grade.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. It's something you put on the back of a soccer hoodie or something to be haha, I have a fun last name.
Right.
I'm joined by Emily, which I'm very excited about. We're in a different location. We're in Northeast DC instead of Northwest DC. We have a dog joining us instead of my cat, so it's switching it up a little bit. To start out with, tell me a little bit about yourself. What have you been up to lately? You're still in school. What are you studying? Just kind of the basics.
Yeah. Okay. So just to give the run through, I'm currently a senior at AU. I study PR and business and entertainment. I'm from California originally. I've lived kind of all around, but I went to high school in the Bay Area. I am looking to move out to LA when I graduate in May. So currently in the midst of my job hunt.
What do you want to do in LA when you move out there?
Ideally, I want to work in events management in the music industry. Really anything that has to do with music in that kind of sphere. I'm lucky that my degree is versatile, so I could go the PR route or marketing even. But I just took an events class this past semester, and that really kind of nailed in that.
Really?
And that's something that I really want to do. Everything that we are doing in this class, we would be doing in the real world. So it's a really good taste of that kind of experience.
What would be your ideal event to manage or a company to manage an event for?
I currently work for Insomniac, which is a EDM events production company that does EDC every year in Las Vegas. It's one of the biggest electronic festivals in the United States. And I would love to work for them just because they do events all over the globe. They have an EDC in Japan, one in Paris, I believe. And they really, really care about the safety and the well-being of their attendees. They call their attendees headliners because, they're the most important part of the festival.
That's actually cool. I haven't heard that before.
And what I get to do for them is be on ground control, which is we literally just walk around the festival looking for people who need help. Either, if they're lost, if they can't find their friends, or if they drink too much or are too under the influence and need to go to the medical tent. It's just kind of, or even if they just need a bottle of water, just, someone to be there and a smile. And they are one of the only companies that actually pays a group of people to do that just for the sake of, the people at the festival. So
how did you get involved in that?
There was this guy that I met through a promotions job that I had in DC who posted, hey, if anyone wants experience working at a music festival, message me or whatever. And he sent me the link to the application for ground control and said that I could use him as a reference, even though I barely really knew him. So that was pretty cool. And the interview process was pretty long. I had to submit two rounds of applications, and then I had to do two different Skype interviews before I got the offer letter to actually apply. So it was a lot, but I've always wanted to go to EDC, but it's pretty expensive, and finding a hotel in Vegas is a lot, so I've never gotten to go. So the first time I went, I was getting paid, which was pretty cool, and we literally do get to save lives. It's kind of a scary part of the job, seeing someone having a seizure or, picking someone up out of their own vomit, but it's really rewarding because they somehow always find a way back to you and will run into you and tell you how much you helped them or,
oh, wow.
In EDM or raves or whatever, they do the candy. So, I have a big collection of bracelets from everyone that I've helped, and it's something really fulfilling, and it kind of really rings in the community aspect of the EDM world, which is something that made me want to work in the music industry in the first place.
And you're someone who, even before this, attended raves, you're very into EDM music, mm-hmm. as a fan of the stuff. Has this changed how you view it or how you attend these events when you're not working at them?
Yes, it definitely brings a deeper dimension of, you know, like the reason why I go, because it's kind of a joke that everyone goes through phases when they start raving. Like first you just go to like do drugs or drink or party or whatever. And then you, you know, go for the music. But I started going to raves when I was a senior in high school. So it's been like 4 or 5 years already. So I've, you know, gone through the phases, and it reached a point where I had seen pretty much every artist that I liked, like a few times actually. I've actually seen over like 350 artists live. Wow.
And that's mostly individual shows or like more festivals?
I think the numbers kind of racked up from festivals, mm-hmm. but also working for GLOW and like having to go to a certain number of shows per month. And they book a lot of big artists, so I'm really glad I've gotten to see everyone, but it did reach a point where I was just getting kind of jaded. And so that's when I kind of realized that I wanted to be a part of making them happen, because, you know, the magic and everything would still be there, but I just wanted to be more involved. So I think doing Ground Control with Insomniac is a really great step, because we are kind of bridging the gap between the people at the festival and the attendees of the festival, because they need to know what's going on. Like, we report traffic, like, if, like, a big set just ended and they're going from one stage to the other, and, like, there's going to be a lot of, you know, crowding. They just need to know that. So that's pretty cool. But, you know, my ultimate goal is to be a part of actually, like, planning them from the ground up.
Going through that, you started off on the West Coast. Now you're in D.C. You want to go back to L.A. How do the scenes differ? I guess coast to coast, or even just D.C., L.A.?
Right.
Different scenes.
Well, I grew up, you know, my, like, when I first started raving, I was in the Bay, which is, I think for the West Coast, it's probably one of the biggest hubs of EDM. And in terms of community, you know, everyone is like very like plur. The phrase is like peace, love, unity, respect.
I didn't know that till just yeah. a second. I'd heard the phrase a lot.
Yeah.
Didn't know what it meant.
It's peace, love, unity, and respect. And like when you trade bracelets with each other, you do like a kind of hand thingy that represents it. And it was just something that I kind of really needed. Like, when I was in high school, I never really felt like I belonged to a certain kind of group. But when I went to my first rave, it was like I had never seen every single person just so accepting and just doing whatever the F they wanted, basically. And I was like, oh, wow, like, this is a place where I can just, like, truly be myself. Like, and it was probably one of the first times I'd ever felt that. It was also a big part of that was just the attitude of everyone on in the Bay Area. You know, everyone's the stereotypes, like, oh, chill, man, like, smoke mm-hmm. a J, whatever, like, let's just chill. And that's like totally completely correct, like, mm-hmm. that's just the way it is. And then when I came out here, I was really impressed with how big it all was. Like, DC has so many venues, and even though they've only been around for 10 years, like, some of the biggest artists are coming through. And the shows are sold out almost every night. And the production, there's, like, lasers and
the lights?
The steamy things.
Oh, yeah, you the steamy what? Things. Like fog machines.
Yeah, that blows out, yeah.
Yeah, like the dry ice.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? I think that's what it is.
Maybe a word for it will pop up in a second. But everyone is a lot more intense. Mm-hmm. And instead of a community, they call it the scene. Which I think is very interesting. Yeah.
Okay.
And I think a large part of that is that most of the venues in DC are also clubs.
Yeah.
So half of the attendees most likely don't even know who the artist is that's playing. Mm-hmm. You know, the cover, like the ticket price of $10 or $15 is the same as the cover at a club. So they'll just kind of like stumble into something, which, you know, one thing is great because it's exposing a lot of new people into EDM that wouldn't normally be into it. But also the vibe of the crowd is very different because not everyone there is there for the same reason.
I think, yeah, it takes away that cultural mm-hmm. kind of feeling to it.
Yeah, like on the West Coast, like, we would prepare for raves, like, months in advance mm-hmm. and, like, get super ready and, like, plan really intricate outfits mm-hmm. and, you know, make custom bracelets and, yeah, like...
I remember that when, like, I'm from Seattle, so, like, mm-hmm. when I was in high school, there was a girl in my English class who started her own company designing rave bras, mm-hmm. and I think she was making, like, $15,000 a year as, like, sophomore in high school.
Yeah,
just, I... Just, like, and that was, like, whenever I saw pictures of people at raves, it was the rave bras, the whole production, outfits. Yeah. And it's, like, people get very, it's all themed. It's, mm-hmm. like, a very much a part of the event itself. Whereas when I go to things in D.C., it's, like, that all it's black like, outfit.
We're just, yeah, we're just going to the club, like, wear crop top and jeans and, like, you know, I still try my best to, like, you know, it's not, like, so much of a creative expression yeah. that has to do with it. It's different. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, not necessarily, like, good or bad. But I just think that in terms of what I want to do and the people I want to work with, I need to go back out to the West Coast. But the scene is very different in L.A. from mm-hmm. where it is in San Francisco, in the Bay Area. It's a lot more spread out. Just because venues, like, L.A. spans, like, so many miles oh, that yeah. venues will be hours away from each other.
Really?
Yeah. It's more of, like, a Vegas-y kind of vibe where mm-hmm. it's, like, people go places to be seen. Mm-hmm. So, it's different in each thing. Mm-hmm. But Insomniac does a lot of big festivals in Southern California.
Is that what attracted you to going back to LA kind of thing?
No, going back to LA is more of a personal choice. Mm-hmm. It's just that this is one of the first times in my life that I've had complete control over where I want to live. Mm-hmm. I've, like, moved around a lot in my life, so it's kind of, like, been a thing for me where, mm-hmm. you know, I just have always kind of, like, felt very thrown around. And I was born and raised in the LA County, so I just have a very strong urge to just, like, go back home, go back to my roots, mm-hmm. go back to the sun, yeah. feel it on my skin.
I'm looking outside right now. It's dark. It's a little dreary.
And I want to live by the beach and the ocean, so that's what I'm going to do. And I'll find a job eventually. But that's the first and only choice that I've made in terms of my, you know, tentative future. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, something. Yeah. So.
No, and I know. So, I graduated in May. I was definitely, for me, I was like, I want to spend at least one more year in D.C. because mm-hmm. I graduated a year early, and I want to give D.C. a chance. Because I was very anti-D.C. for a while. I'm sure you right. spoke about it at some point or another. Especially being from the West Coast, just a culture clash. I kind of was like, oh, like, D.C. will be more like New York, which I love New York. D.C. is nothing like New York, in my opinion. Yeah. Or at least the parts of New York I like are not like the parts of D.C. that I've been in.
I just find the pace of life to be a little too overwhelming for me. Mm-hmm. Some people can handle it because there's a lot of, like, freaking bosses out here. Yeah. Like, everyone's so impressive and, like, has their mm-hmm. own stuff going on and also runs a nonprofit somehow. Yeah,
you have all your stuff, and then the nonprofit's, like, your side project.
Right. I'm really glad I moved here because it's made me, like, kick my butt into gear. Mm-hmm. But in an ideal world, I'd love to be a young professional here, mm-hmm. like, and have a lot of money and, like, be able to go out to bars and, like, nice restaurants and stuff. My college experience was very interesting. It was a bittersweet relationship with the city, I think. Mm-hmm. But I definitely don't regret it.
What do you
think? Because I don't think I would have come out to the East Coast at all otherwise.
Mm-hmm. No, and I know when I came out, the crazy thing about, like, because I'm 21 right now too, you're 21 as well.
Yeah.
Like, being at this age, you don't have a lot of stuff. You don't have a lot of time, like, you don't have kids that are mm-hmm. in school. You don't have things you have to worry about, or, like, these external factors. So you can, it's like the one time in your life where you can kind of be transient. Like, you can be somewhere for a year and then move the next mm-hmm. year. Especially, like, college, because it's, like, that set time period.
Yeah.
Of 3 years, of four years, 5 years, no matter how long it takes you, kind of thing, where it's, like, you go there and you know at the end, it's, like, that easy, like, you can just cut it and mm-hmm. go.
Yeah, and, I mean, I see myself living in New York one day when I'm mm-hmm. more mature and I can handle that. Or, you know, I really want to live outside of the country.
Really? Where do you want to?
Europe, somewhere.
Just generally.
I think that it's important to, like, to travel and immerse myself in other cultures, and I just want to kind of have a really comfortable starting point. I don't know how long I'll be in LA. Maybe it's just a couple years. It kind of depends on the job I have. Or my mom is actually moving down to Southern California because my sister just graduated this past year and goes to community college in Long Beach. So my mom wants all of us to be down there together.
That's
sweet. Which is going to be really nice. I have a really, really close relationship with my mother. And I really miss being living close to her.
What's that like, having like that close of a relationship and then having to be so far away? Do you think it's made you closer? Or?
It's definitely made our bond stronger. And I think it was just because it made me appreciate her more, honestly. Like last night, I was bored here alone and I called her and I was like, Mom, I'm super bored. And so we talked on the phone for like 2 hours. And, you know, it's, you know, we'll talk about like the small, stupid stuff. I feel like I can be more open with her because she sees me as more of an adult now. And, like, she trusts me. You know, it's like when you're a kid, all the times where your mom's like, oh, I'll tell you when you're older.
Yeah.
And we've always just had a really, really great trusting relationship because she never, like, checked my phone. She never, like, grounded me or anything. She was always just like, let me know where you are. I just want you to be safe.
That's,
you know,
nice.
I don't need to know what you're doing. And she kind of, like, let us solve our own issues and, like, but was always there to step in if needed be.
Like, to be that mom.
Yeah.
You know.
She's very caring and nurturing and always sends me a box of Halloween decorations every year because she knows that's my favorite holiday.
Aww.
Just fun stuff like that.
What did you do for Halloween this year? That just passed. It's, like, a little over a month ago.
I actually really slacked off on Halloween this year, which is sad.
I'm disappointed.
It was a rough month, though. It was midterms, and I had some health stuff going on, but I stayed home and watched a lot of scary movies, a lot more scary movies than I did last year, but I just didn't have, like, a costume, really. I dressed up as a witch, because I had a witch hat, and I needed extra credit
That's
for...
That's better than nothing.
Oh, it's actually the class that Jake and I have together. I asked the professor if he would give us extra credit if we dressed up on Halloween. because our class was on
That's
Halloween,
like, it
obviously.
Doesn't hurt to ask. Obviously. That's actually one of the smartest things I've heard.
And he's cool because he was like, yeah. And he's like, extra credit if you dress up as someone in the music industry.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, bet. So I put on a witch hat and like a really like boho outfit with like a lot of necklaces. And I was Stevie Nicks.
I was going to say it was Stevie Nicks.
And I was the only one dressed up.
There were
some other people in the class that
I'm disappointed because Jake had a costume. He was
Ariana
Grande.
There were some people in the class
that
had to like... You know, they were like, oh, yeah, I'm wearing this sweater, so it means I'm Mr. Sweater. You know, like, trying to BS it, and I was like, whatever, you guys are lame.
Last year, you were Coraline, which I loved. That is, of all time, one of my favorite costumes.
I had three costumes last year, was a lot.
What were your other ones?
I was like a skeleton, like, bodysuit kind of thing, and like a bandana that I wore to a show. And then I was a man-eater. That was fun. It was like, just... One of, you know, the slutty costume.
Yeah.
Like, you just pull it together. It was, like torn clothes and fishnets and blood.
Yeah. No, but that's creative. No, and then before I actually, like, knew you, this is going to sound really creepy, but I followed you on Instagram, I think, for maybe, like, half a year before we, like, became friends.
That's a very AU thing.
Which is an AU thing. I don't know. I think that's a
like,
thing.
Like, I know a lot of
places.
People on social media, and I'll see them on campus, but, like, I'll never say hi to them. That's weird.
Yeah, but you had posted, you were Penny Lane
Almost
Famous.
That was a very, like, throw-together costume.
Which I saw that, and I was like, I don't know who she is. Not Penny. Obviously, like, I've seen the movie, but I was like, this is the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, that was like, we were going to a frat party, and my roommate had a fur coat, and I was like, all right.
There you go. That's all you need.
Funny story, I have like an ex-best friend that was Penny Lane the year before for Halloween, and she got so mad. She tweeted and was like, oh yeah, I guess everyone and their mom is like Penny Lane for Halloween this year.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah,
she's did you follow her on Twitter
that, like,
at the time?
Thinks she kind of like owned everything that she did, you know what I mean?
I know, yeah.
Like,
so, but did you follow her? Did you see this or did someone else tell you?
I'm pretty sure I, like, was just stalking your Twitter. I'm not above that.
No,
sometimes you really need to just cleanse.
Yeah.
Like, I'll occasionally stalk my ex on whatever sometimes. But I also have a great boyfriend now.
Yeah, no, he's wonderful. And no, that makes
sense. But it's just like a...
You're just curious.
Yeah, it's just...
Yeah.
It's curious.
Well, I definitely... My thing is I moved as a kid like a couple times. So it's like the kids I grew up with,
mm-hmm.
I knew them through middle school and then I moved. So I didn't see them in high school. I didn't get to see all their weird postgraduate or post-middle school phases.
Yeah.
So sometimes there's a couple people I'm still friends with. And maybe they'll tag someone in something or someone will like something. And it brings me down a rabbit hole of stalking every person I went to middle school with.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it's just like this thing where it's like, I can't just see like their most recent thing and be like, oh, okay, like they're engaged now. Or like, oh, like they just got out of juvie. Like, it's cool.
You're like, when did they start growing that beard?
Exactly. And you're going back and you're like, well, because so I was in a small town where growing up. And it's not a question of like who's dating who. It's like who has their turn with who. Because it's like the same people just kind of get passed around. It's all very...
I feel that. There was a very, like, incestual friend group that...
Oh, yeah.
The top of the food chain, I think.
It's always that way. Yeah. That's kind of how it works. And you're kind of like, weren't you here and here? Especially, like, for me, I'm like, these are people that I knew, like, in elementary school. Like, this was, like, so-and-so's boyfriend in third grade, where it wasn't really a boyfriend. They just, like, screamed at each other across the playground. And, like...
True.
That kind of stuff.
They're
and
like, we
see,
have
like,
history.
Yeah. No, and then, like... You know, they're getting engaged or joining colleges together and stuff. And I'm just like, how did this happen?
There are so many people getting engaged.
I don't like that. And I didn't think that it was something that would be happening this young.
True. Yeah. It's just, I feel like it's happening a lot. Like,
I'm noticing it more. I was expecting.
Or like, I feel like people are just like going hella fast. Like, mm-hmm. they get engaged and then they get married and then. They're pregnant like 2 months after.
Oh yeah.
Like I feel like a usual thing is to be engaged for a few years and you live together and
process.
Then you get married
yeah.
and then like maybe you have kids down the line, but I don't know. I think it's kind of a like everyone that is engaged is like in from my hometown and like
yeah.
you know, it's not I don't want to, you know, drag out the like you did go to college versus you didn't go to college, mm-hmm. but like some people, like, that's what they want to do. Like, they just want to, like, be a mom.
Yeah.
Like, that's chill. That's cool. I honestly kind of secretly wish that one of my friends would just get knocked up so I could have a little baby to play with so I don't have to.
I can do that for you. Well, like, this is what, like, you were going to ask by the end
yeah,
of this
exactly.
episode. My thing was I was expecting to see more people I knew from AU getting engaged. Because I graduated.
That.
Like, I was expecting, like, people I knew that were seniors, like, when I was a freshman.
And I don't all know of a lot of AU couples that graduate and stay together, honestly.
I don't either. I think there was two girls I knew that are engaged now mm-hmm. that graduated AU a year before me, and the other one was a semester before me. But everyone, I just, every time I go on Facebook, it's a refresh, and it's another Mormon kid from high school that got back from a mission trip, met someone a week after, knew him for 2 months, and is now married with a child on the way.
Yeah, true that.
You know, I'm sure marriage is
about
right around the corner
reunion,
for you.
In like 10 years.
Oh my gosh. That's okay. That freaks me out because high school reunions, like the 10-year reunion's like 6 years away.
I'm pretty excited for it.
Though. Are you going to go to yours?
Yeah.
I don't know if I would still speak to anyone is my thing. Just because especially now, I didn't go back for the summer. I've been in D.C. since January now, like nonstop. Mm-hmm. Like I haven't left except for like a couple weekends in New York or going up to Rhode Island for a weekend. I haven't left D.C., so I'm like, I don't know if, you know, 6 years from now if I'm even going to be speaking to anyone.
Near that place, yeah.
I'm also like, if I put on weight, I don't want them to see me. So, like, if I can, like, keep this or lower, I'm good.
I just know I'm going to have a good job by then, so I'm going to
yeah.
rub it in.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're going to be wildly successful. What got you interested, I guess, like, on the business side? Like, a lot of people go to raves. A lot of people are into
right.
EDM music. What made you say, like, this is something I want to make a career with?
I used to be really involved with WVAU.
Which is AU's college radio station.
Yes.
To clarify, yeah.
They host, you know, a lot of great, like, panels or speakers. And they had someone come and speak from Car Park Records. And they were talking about their experience. And, they, you know, someone asked them, of course, like, what made you want to get into the music industry? And they were like, honestly, I just wanted to have, like, a cool and fun job. Mm-hmm. And, like, music is what I liked. So I started going to shows and I, like, met people and blah, 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 blah. I was really lost at the time because I was actually a CLEG major, which is Communications Law, Economics, and Government. And if you know me, I, like, my first government class made me want to, like, sink down into
the
hole.
Like, I'm sitting across from you right now. You have, like, the blue hair going on and the flannel. In a good way.
Yeah. But that was just the moment where I was like, oh my gosh, like, this is something that I could do. I had never even thought of it before. Like, it wasn't that I, you know, didn't think that I could do it. It just never came across as an option to me. And that night I called my mom and I told her that I wanted to change my major. Mm-hmm. And so I, like, looked into it and, you know, kind of, like, made it happen, which was, you know, pretty cool. Just because I knew that I honestly would not have been able to graduate if I kept on the Clegg path, because mm-hmm. I was so unmotivated and I hated the work that I did. And that's not what college should be about. We're paying way too much money to not love.
You should be excited about the classes. You should be excited about.
Yeah, even though, like, my assignments suck or whatever. Like, I'm always interested in what I'm learning about, which mm-hmm. I think is really important. And then it, you know, was kind of blurry from then on. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, I want to work in the music industry. What now? I had some friends at the time that were trying to be music producers, or maybe they're still trying, but we're not really that good of friends anymore. I honestly just wanted to help them out. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, I guess I want to be a artist manager. Like, I guess that's what I want to do. I had this plan to, like, you know, graduate, move out to LA, have them as my clients, like, taken to the top. Like, I'm a very idealistic person.
I was
going to
say,
person.
You are, like, the best manager I've heard of. If that is how easy it is.
Yeah, I'm, you know, I always kind of, like, jump to the best case scenario and just kind of try to chase after it. I mean, it's worked out
it
so far.
It hasn't hurt you yet.
I was like, okay, like, that's what I want to do. But then I took some business classes that made me realize that being a manager is really hard. Just terribly hard, because you do everything. It's mm-hmm. basically you wear a bunch of hats and you don't make a lot of money. You don't. Mm-hmm. Unless you're managing, like, someone who's booking, you know, a medium to large size venue, you're not going to be making a lot of money. You're going to be hurting for a while. And it just kind of became unrealistic. And my ties to the people who inspired me to do it in the first place kind of fizzled out. So I was kind of back to, well, I guess I'll just work. Like, you know, the goal has always just been for me to be interested in what I do. But then I was at a music festival in 2016, and it kind of just came to me that I was like, oh my gosh, like, I want to do this. You know, those festivals always, like, put very happy moments in my life, and I always feel so present, and I always feel so connected to the, like, thousands of people around me, and it, you know, I always just kind of, like, get recharged almost. And it kind of hit me that I'd want to make that happen for other people. That is my best way to, you know, make an impact with what I do while also, you know, really liking it. And I've been involved in ASB in high school. I was, like, special events chairperson, and I was a part of a leadership organization in high school that was, like, the state board. And I worked for a radio station that, you know, you did pretty much the same thing, like, promotions.
Like, I was on the street,
you know,
team.
Yeah, going from event to event. Mm-hmm. They do their own music festival, so I've gotten to be, like, an artist runner for, you mm-hmm. know, like, I got to run, like, AWOL Nation, which was pretty cool.
I was very into them for
their
a very
manager
long time when
was
I was younger.
A dick.
Really?
So it was a lot. It was really hard to deal with. I got to meet the Dirty Heads. I mean, this is very tangential, but I got to meet, like, the Dirty Heads, got to meet Mark Hoppus. Mm-hmm. I've gotten to, you know, like, be a part of actually running a music festival. And so it kind of just kind of hit me recently that all of my past experience, even though it's pretty scattered in terms of what I actually did or who I worked for, all had to do with events. And it's just something that, you know, comes kind of naturally to me. One of my life philosophies is I think you should just try to be happy, as happy as possible. Like, most of my decisions are just, like, what's going to make me happiest? Like, what do I want? And it gets me in trouble sometimes. I don't really have a lot of self-control. But I think, like, one of the most valuable things that we do is, like, just experience things. Going new places, meeting new people. That is what really drives me in life. That's where my passion is like, creating those experiences for other people. And I just love the detail-oriented aspect of the work. I love making, like, travel itineraries and, you know, doing stuff that seems mundane and normally people wouldn't want to do it, or worrying about, like, centerpieces or, like, flower arrangements. One of my, like, actual big dreams is to eventually make it as a wedding planner.
Really?
Yeah. But I think that's going to be when I get married,
you know, sometimes in the next year.
Yeah, I always tell my
high school friends.
I always tell my friends that you don't have to make me your maid of honor, but you have to let me plan it. I don't see myself doing that until I'm older. Mm-hmm. I definitely want to have a very, like, rich career where I do a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. I don't see myself working in the music industry past 30, honestly. Really? Yeah, I would like to work in arts eventually.
Okay.
If I stick to the theme of, you know, event planning, it would be fun to do, like, art galas, art mm-hmm. openings, charity events. I got to recently volunteer at, like, a charity gala for Hope for Henry, which is an organization that, you know, tries to improve the experience of young children in hospitals. Really cool.
Amazing, yeah.
I did that through my events class at AU. Mm-hmm. Like, it was required for us to volunteer at an event.
That's a really cool opportunity. Yeah. Then too.
And I got to work check-in at, like, the Recording RIAA, their CEO's retirement party. I got to, like, shadow the event planner and work check-in for that. It's all, like, big scale things. Like, these parties are like tens of thousands of dollars, mm-hmm. like upwards of 50 if you know. Mm-hmm. And so that would definitely be cool to do one day, is just have a lot of money to spend and like make something beautiful and make a lot of people happy. But yeah, that's the goal, is to just do as much as possible. I don't really believe in the notion that you can only have one career in your life. Like, you have to pick one thing to be when you grow up and then that's it. I mean, if people only want to be one thing, mm-hmm. that's fine. But I've always had a conflict of, like, never knowing what I wanted to be. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I guess I just have to kind of, like, try out what I like and
hop
around.
That's the best way to find it out.
Mm-hmm. In the class we're taking, we learned how to do a run of show, which is, like, basically, like, the, like, guidebook of the event. Like, mm-hmm. it comes with the floor plan, the staff, like, contact page. If there's any media or special guest that's going to be there, like, when they're going to arrive and, like, mm-hmm. their contact. It's, like, a full schedule
by
like, the minute sometimes. Like,
oh, wow.
You know, when things need to be set up, when, mm-hmm. you know, sound checks are.
Yeah.
Like, how far in advance things have needed to have been ordered. Mm-hmm. It's a lot, but like I said, it's that kind of stuff that I really like to do.
Yeah.
Because I think it's, like, really, like, the small details that...
Yeah. And that's, you know, awesome, like, you found something that interests you.
Yeah.
I think, for me, like, that's why I really like journalism stuff, because I'm like, there's always a new challenge. Like, it's mm-hmm. kind of like this idea of, because I get bored really easily.
Yeah.
And this idea of, like, all those different details.
And when I go to festivals, events, anything now, it really enhances my experience because I'm learning.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a pretty observant person, so I always try to take down the details of, do they have enough trash and recycle bins? I listen to this, like, podcast, TED Talk once, about design mm-hmm. and how there are a lot of things in our life that are inconvenient, but we just don't realize it. He used, like, the sticker on the banana peel, for example. Like, why do they put stickers on fruit? It's, like, only 1 second of our lives where we have to, like, peel the mm-hmm. sticker off the fruit, or an apple, I guess, would make more sense in that metaphor.
Interesting.
But we just do it because we don't think about it, but, like, why do we have to?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm always trying to pay attention to the details of, like, you know, is there a problem? All of the music festivals that I've been to, the best ones, or, like, my favorite ones, have always had, like, the details down. Like, mm-hmm. down to, like, registering your wristband so mm-hmm. that if it gets lost, they can, like, trace it back to you.
That's
and you can
nice.
Cancel it from your, you can, you know, cancel it from your phone. Just things that show the organizers of the festival put thought into what the experience is going to be for the person. Like, put themselves in the attendee's shoes. I think it's very important to kind of, like, be on the ground of that.
Okay, and so this podcast is called Almost Peaking, and so at some point or another, every episode, I ask the guest to tell a story about a time when they were almost peaking. So basically, like, things are going good, and then they go downhill kind of thing.
I had this dream when I was, since I saw the Lizzie McGuire movie when I was younger,
mm-hmm.
to give a speech at my graduation.
Mm-hmm.
The way that my high school worked was that, like, the class president and vice president gave the speech,
mm-hmm.
and I was really involved with student council, like, my whole high school career, so I ran for class president my senior year, and I lost,
mm-hmm.
so my dream was pretty much crushed, and I worked really hard, and, like, it was kind of, like, me and this really popular guy, and, like, I was trying to, like, rally the masses, like,
really?
I was the underdog, and so it was actually pretty devastating, mm-hmm. like, even my teachers, like, were really sad about it.
Aww.
I was like I said, on the state board mm-hmm. for leadership in California.
Yeah.
So I didn't really let it get me down, even though I was like, dang, like, I'm not really going to be able. Yeah. But then, like, no one ran for vice president for some reason, so they, like, reopened the election. Mm-hmm. And so I ran, but I ran against this popular girl, so I lost. I lost again. And it was terrible. You know, like, all right, well, definitely, like, dream done, whatever. But there is supposed to be, like, a musical performance every year. Mm-hmm. Like, someone who's, you know, can sing, or, like, a group of people, one of them plays guitar or whatever. I guess no one in my class was, like, musically talented enough, so... They were, like, desperate for people to, mm-hmm. like, you know, audition to sing or whatever. And I was like, you know, I can sing in the shower, but I can't, like, sing. But I was like, this is my chance. Like, I need to do, I need to do something.
Yeah.
And so I was on pretty good terms with, like, the principal at that point, just because I, you know, was really involved and everything.
Mm-hmm. You basically ran the school.
Yeah, you know.
No big deal.
But I was like, yo, I can't sing, but I will do a spoken word poem. And I got my friend who plays guitar and another friend who plays violin to, like, accompany me. They were like, yeah, we're on board. But little did they know that I had never written or performed a spoken word poem in my life. Like, I just thought I could do it. And it was, like, 2 weeks before graduation. Like, it was really, like,
no, it was crunch time.
And that was me, like, trying to, like, finish high school. I really, like, got myself into a pickle. But I did it. It actually turned out to be really great, and my friends played, like, the River Flows in You, or it's, like, the piano song from Twilight.
I read the books. I wasn't a fan of the books. I also was from...
You need to watch the whole thing.
Here's the thing. Forks is a speed trap. The whole town of Forks, because every time I have had to go through Forks to go camping, like, on the coast, my mom has gotten a speeding ticket. No, Edward Cullen, if you want to reach out to me, we'll talk.
Hit me up, yeah. But, yeah, so... On the day of graduation, I not only got to perform, like, get up to perform the poem, which was, you know, great. And some people came up to me and told me that, like, I made them cry.
Oh, my goodness.
And, yeah, it was really well received. Maybe this is another part of the not peaking, but no one recorded it or, like, and, like, my mom could hear, but my dad was, like, in the back, and he could barely hear what I was saying. So I was like, did you love it? And he was like, didn't really hear it, so that kind of sucked. But I also got to stand in front of the band, who was, like, at the mm-hmm. front of the field, and conduct the, like, school's anthem, because I was drum major. So
no, you, I did not know that.
I got to, like, get up in front of everyone and, like, walk to the front twice, so I felt super important. I guess the, like, almost peaking part of that is that it just inflated my ego so freaking hard. Like, I was like, I did it. Like, I mean, I, you know, obviously I deserve to, like, give myself credit and stuff mm-hmm. like that. But it basically, like, was the confidence that every high school senior has when they just graduated is, like, they can take on the world and, like, no one's going to stop them. And what they want to do is mm-hmm. right. And it just kind of, like, set me up for a slap in the face when I got to college. And a really rough transition when I realized that although I had accomplished a lot and stuff like that, I wasn't a really good person and that I had a lot of growing to do. You know, that moment is something that, like, I reflect on very positively and, mm-hmm. you know, it's a very, like, sunny memory in my life, but I don't think it did me a lot of any good because the next few years were pretty rough just because it took me a really, really long time to come to terms with the fact I needed to change mm-hmm. because I thought that I, you know, had already reached my peak basically. Mm-hmm. And it was just, it's just been a maturing process since then.
And we've been talking for a while. There's not too much time left. Before we say au revoir, goodbye, what makes a good festival from your perspective?
Creating a good flow is the most important thing in terms of how many stages there are and how the lineup is situated, because the biggest problems that people have with festivals are overcrowding. So if there aren't enough stages and everyone's too packed, or if festivals will, like, put two big artists on two different stages to kind of diffuse the crowd, but if there's too many conflicts between artists, mm-hmm. like, you know, if you really like two people, but they're on at the exact same time, what do? The flow of traffic in terms of getting in security, not having to wait in line. The best festival I've ever been to is Lightning in a Bottle, which is like a camping festival.
Where is that?
It's kind of in the middle of nowhere, but it's basically in like central California coastal. It's in like a reserve. Like there's a lake and it's camping and the festival grounds are intertwined in the campgrounds. And seriously, the whole time I was there, I was like, who works here? Everyone was like so nice and didn't have to worry about a lot because everything was taken care of and everyone was really like self-sustaining. You know, you bring your own stuff, you clean up your campsite, and the flow was just so great. Like there were a bunch of stages and they were set up not too far where you had to do a lot of walking, but not too close where there was too much conflict. You want to make the experience as like easy breezy for people as possible because a lot of planning goes into going to a music festival. Mm-hmm. Like what hotel you're going to stay at, your transportation, your outfits, like what substances you're going to be consuming. That while you're there, the festival's job is to make sure that the rest goes smoothly.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
I'm so excited to hear about how LA is when you go out there, and I'm so grateful that I met you in a car ride to West Virginia.
Oh, yeah.
2 years ago.
West Virginia. I always say North Carolina when I tell people because I mix them up.
Thank you for listening. You can find me on social media at Aubrey Violetta. There's a new episode of Almost Peeking Out on every Monday, so be sure to find it on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, or on my website, aubreyvioletta.com/almostpeeking if you want to follow Emily.
Yes, I am at Emily Langlois, LANGLOIS _ on Twitter.
And again, thank you so much. It has been a pleasure to have you here. Here, as I'm like in your living space.
I'm happy to have you here, Aubrey.
Oh, wow.